If you want to look like a lion, you better be able to roar like a lion as well. Because that's what scares the people, when the lion roars, not when he yawns. And there's a hadith in Tabarani that the Prophet ﷺ have been reported to have said, في آخر الزمان على المؤمن أن يروغ روغان الثعلب. Towards the end of time, the believer should be clever like a fox. And there's a lot of wisdom in that hadith, because like I said, foxes are weak animals, but what they have in weakness, they make up in intelligence. Now, the fox, there's another story in Aesop's fables where the lion invited the fox into the cave to have lunch with him. And the fox said, I'm going to decline the invitation. And the lion said, why? Aren't you hungry? He said, yeah, but I see all these footprints going into the cave and I don't see any coming out. And I think maybe I might be the lunch. And this is the thing about the Muslims. We're invited into the lion's cave all the time and we just want to mosey in. Where's the lunch? Well, why, you are. So we have to start being like the fox, clever, not stupid. Can a Muslim woman divorce her husband? Again, these are fiqh issues. There's difference of opinion. Generally, the haqq, what's called the haqq al-talaq, is in the hand of the husband. Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu does give a right, but it has to be stipulated in the marriage and things like this. But these are fiqh issues. I would prefer, again, that you go back to your the imams here, school, and many other problems in society of kufr, political system, and so on. Do we just treat the symptoms of cancer rather than root out cancer by getting back to Dar al-Islam, where the Dar al-Islam will teach correct way of life, Islam to every child, and implement Sharia to preserve five? Well, first of all, we have to deal with the fact that there really isn't a Dar al-Islam right now. Dar al-Islam is a place in which there is a khilafah and the hukm of Allah is paramount. That is Dar al-Islam. And it's problematic. I mean, this is an age of hayra, of confusion. The ulama themselves are confused. And I've heard ulama tell me this themselves. This is an age where things aren't black and white anymore. There used to be Dar al-Islam and Dar al-Harb. And now, Muslims are persecuted in the places that used to be Dar al-Harb for worshipping, for going to Fajr, for growing a beard. And yet in the Kufar lands, they can do these basic functions with very little molestation. It's changing. Unfortunately, the situation's intensifying. Like in France, it's getting very serious. But again, I believe we need to have a Dar al-Islam in our houses before we get the collective Dar al-Islam. We need to reach a critical mass of believers that are implementing this deen at a social level and interacting amongst themselves, and things will begin to change. But again, the best definition of madness I've ever heard is to do the same thing over and over again and expect different results. And this is what Muslims have been doing for a long time. How can we teach our children Islamic knowledge when we have no Islamic schools or educational? This is a great barrier to parent. That's what I'm saying. Get out and make them. And that's the whole point of my talk. Some people, I don't know if they listen or... But that's what I'm saying. That's what we have to do. I mean, what do we do? Just sit around and wait till it happens? That's the propped up block of wood approach to life. You sit around and wait till somebody else does it. And then if there's some benefit in it, you'll go. It's just like the Prophet ﷺ said that people, that he wanted to burn the houses down that didn't go to Fajr and Isha, because he said if there was a mutton, a piece of lamb in the masjid, they'd be there. Which is a proof they rarely got meat in those days. They didn't get meat a lot of times. But see, somebody said, you know, I have a hard time getting to Fajr. If you tell them, I'll give you $100 if you're in Fajr tomorrow, or 50 pounds, or whatever, they'll be there. They'll probably be there for 5 quid, the state of a lot of Muslims nowadays. But they'll be there. If there's some material gain, they'll be there. But this is part of the state. Now, we have to establish neighborhood masjids and live together. Because masjids are meant to be close to the house and the place where you work so that you can go and do and pray in the masjid. Some people say religion is like opium. Religion only something dicks people and so on. So they say science is the way forward. Please give your opinion about it. religion, you know, again, there's definitions of religion. The religion of this, I mean, they talked about religion being an opium. At least the religion they had before wasn't physical, material opium that destroyed their mind. Now, what they replaced religion with is real opium. You see, I mean, Marx said religion, the opium of the masses. So what do they replace it with? Real opium. You see, really, what are they all doing out there to fill their spiritual void? They're all taking opium. And as far as I'm concerned, television is just a form of opium. That's what it is. It's TV. Do they say TV here?
Yes.
Transcendental vegetation. That's what you do. You just vegetate. And there's been studies, neurologically, you go into what's called a hypnagogic state, which is a passive state. It's a receptive state. You sit there and you let them fill you with all that filth and all that garbage. And I'll tell you something. I know most of the people in here, you can close your eyes and start seeing images from the television right now. Why do you want to put that stuff in your brain? I saw an advertisement for a movie said, there's scenes in this picture you'll never forget. I said, that's all the more reason not to go see it. Because I don't want them putting scenes in my mind that I can never forget. Subhanallah. During the talk, it was mentioned women's right to choose the husband without the ruling system of Islam. Women cannot marry someone without the parents' consent. Whereas in Islam, women take the father to court. Then the judge can, again, these are, I know the issues are here. You've got big problems in your communities about this stuff. But could you tell us the steps towards marriage? Do you have to be financially and mentally prepared and to approach a woman in the process? The Prophet, the Hadith Sahih, من استطاع يا معشر الشباب من استطاع منكم الباء فليتزوج. الباء means the primary meaning is the place where you live. If you have a place where you can put your wife, a maskan, بوأك الله means like may Allah put you in a good place. بوأك الله خيرا أو اجعل الجنة بوأك. So the باء, and then باء also means, it also means the financial ability. Now we know that some of the Sahaba married with literally nothing. We know that, it's historically documented. There are situations in where it is wajib for a man to marry. If he fears fornication, fornication is worse than penury. In other words, poverty will not take you to hell, but fornication is very dangerous. So, you know, people just have to do what they have to do, but the best situation is to go in with some stability. I know that one of the number one reasons for marital friction and problems is financial security. And what the responsibility of man is to maintain the natural state of sakina that a woman has. And if you want to get a woman into a disarrayed state, then create constricting financial environment for her, because it's very unnerving for women. The Prophet ﷺ kept a year's supply of food in his house for his women. And that's just a way of like having them feel at ease about those matters, because women are concerned about their children and they have major concerns, and people should respond to that. And we know the hadith of Hind asking if she could steal money from Abu Sufyan. I know of men and women in this world who perform truly wonderful acts looking after disabled and poor people and kind people, but they are not Muslim. Will there be any hope for them? Will they still be in hell if they're good? So, Allahu Ta'ala A'lam. We don't condemn anybody to the fire. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says in the Quran that the only thing He will not forgive is shirk. But Allah also says, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ فَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. If whoever seeks other than Islam as a way, it will not be accepted from him, and he's in the Akhirah from the people of loss. So, but Allah Ta'ala A'lam, the condition of people, again, we should not be concerned about other people's individual judgment. We could be concerned about whether we're doing good acts or not. Not about whether the Christians are doing good acts or not. We should be concerned what about we're doing. It's like they say, don't be concerned about what people say about you, but be concerned about what you say about other people. Because you have no control about what people say about you, but you certainly have control over what you say about other people. Since, for example, we don't have enough Islamic schools in the UK, if we take our children out of the un-Islamic schools, where should we take them? A really good place to start is your home. There's something, I don't know, in the United States, we can homeschool. And there's people that have proven that homeschooling is more effective academically than even the best schools in the United States. There's a book called Homeschooling for Excellence that was written by two people who chose to raise their children in their house. They taught them, the 15 years old, they took the high school, they took the examinations to get into university, and they had almost perfect scores, and they were three of them out of the four at the time the book was written. The fourth one hadn't completed his studies. The three had all been accepted to Harvard, which is the number one dunya university in the United States. Now, that's an outward, you know, that's just people teaching them the dunya sciences. I mean, really, these schools, people tell me in the United States, oh, our school outscored the Islamic school, quote unquote, outscored the public school by 10%. 10%? I mean, if that's all we're outscoring these people, then we're in bad shape. Because 80% of, in one study they did, 80% of students in high school in the United States didn't know where the Pacific Ocean was. Which is not a fard ayn. You're not going to be asked about how high Mount Everest is on Yom Qiyamah. They fill themselves with all these trivial facts. These are so many questions. I'm going to take them, inshallah. Maybe I'll write a book. Alhamdulillah, it's been good. Thank you very much for your attentive, and I didn't mean to be harsh on the ladies with the children, but it's just hard to concentrate. I would just say to end, you know, my visit to the UK and seeing the condition of the Muslims, I would say that the conditions here, from what I've seen, and I know my stay here has been short, less than 3 weeks, but there seems to be that there's very serious conditions. And I read in the Independent in Liverpool an article about children beating their mothers. And I started the article and thinking, look at these kuffar, you know, aql al-walidat. And I was saying, alhamdulillah, the Muslims, you know. And it turned out the kid that was beating the woman was from a Muslim family. His name was Ahmed. And he was a result. The woman was English. The husband had been a Muslim. And then he divorced her and then went and married a Muslim woman and just dumped this kid, and this kid was filled with rage and he was beating this woman. And you know, this is part, one of the things Muslims do, they sow quote unquote sow their wild oats. Some of these Muslim men, they go out and sow their wild oats with non-Muslim women and then leave offspring, and then they go find a nice good virgin Muslim wife after they've been messing around. You know, really, they should be disgusted and ashamed of themselves, these people. And I don't know if any, I hope none of those type people are in this room, but there's a lot of them out there, I'll tell you that much. And I know the brothers in Liverpool have told me that when they do da'wah, they get all these women that have been married to Muslim men coming screaming about what a sick religion Islam is. Because that was their experience of the Muslim men. And don't forget that people, most people, they judge things by behavior. When you talk about the Jews, you're not talking about the Jewish religion. You're talking about how the Jews behave. When you talk about Christians, you're not talking about Christian ideals. You're talking about how the Christians behave. And that's what we associate Christianity with, and Judaism and Hinduism. People associate religions with the actions of the followers of the religions. And that's why Allah warns us about being people upright, to be an example, shuhada ala nas. How can you be a witness for people if you're not upright? If you're some pathetic example of depravity yourself. And so really, people are going to have, Yawm al-Qiyamah, it's a scary day. Yawm yaqumu an-nasu li rabbil alameen. It's a frightening day, and people should think about it and start making some muhasabah. At the end of the day, start reflecting on what we've been doing with our days and how we've been treating people. Really. when it says, مَا سَرَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَّلِينَ We didn't pray. وَلَمْ نَكُونُ طَعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ وَكُنَّ نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِضِينَ The tafsir of كُنَّ نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِضِينَ We were followers and we weren't leaders. And Muslims are supposed to be leaders. We're supposed to be a'imma. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً We made from them إِمَّةً يُرِيدُ أَنْ يَمُنُّوا عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَيَجْعَلْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً وَيَجْعَلْهُمْ الْوَارِثِينَ Allah wants to take those who are based in the earth and make them leaders and inheritors. But they have to change themselves. Being based in the earth doesn't, that's not, we're not permanently, you know, we don't have to stay in this condition. And Muslims need to get out a new mindset, get out of this depressive, pessimistic, we don't need to stay in this condition. We have all the tools for raising up and becoming a great ummah. But what we have to do is look at the models of success and then emulate them. If you want to be successful in anything, you have to see people who've been successful in that thing and look what they did. Why reinvent the wheel? If we want to be successful, we should look at those who went before us who were successful and do what they did and we'll get the results they did. And one of the most beautiful things the poet ever said from Andalusia, تِلْكَ أَثَارُنَا تَدُلُّ عَلَيْنَا فَانْدُرُوا بَعْدَنَا إِلَى الْأَثَارِ These are our remnants. So they indicate who we were. So look, after we're gone, at what we left behind. If you want to know who we were, look at what we've left behind. And it's pretty frightening what our generation is going to leave behind for the future generations of this ummah. A bunch of slogans and pamphlets. Islam is the solution. Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Rabbana hab lana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata a'yunin waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. Jazakallah khair. I hope inshallah many of us, if not all of us inshallah, will benefit from what Imam